Welcome to today's podcast, See Here Love. Lovelies, we are talking to another West Coast sister, Bethany Allen. Welcome today.
Thank you. We're
so glad to have you. Introduce yourself to us, friend.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a humbling experience to get to introduce yourself. I'm Bethany Allen. I am the associate pastor at Bridgetown Church in Portland, Oregon. And yeah, I'm a huge fan of Canada, even though I've never been there.
Oh, we're going to change that.
Yeah. And I'm honored to get to be on this podcast, to get to connect with you, but also this community. It's beautiful.
I'm so glad to have you. I'm so glad to enter into this conversation with you. I love the fact that we keep unpacking this broader theme of wonder. And today we're talking about probably one of the most beautiful yet sometimes misunderstood parts of Christian life, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's not just doctrine, but living presence. And so I'm excited to jump into this, and I'd love to challenge our listeners to think about what do you think when you hear the words Holy Spirit, what comes to mind first? What experience comes to mind? What may feel familiar or unfamiliar or unsure about Holy Spirit? How have you heard the Spirit being talked about in our church settings, past and present? And so I think this is one of the areas in our Christian teachings, in the way we follow God, that seems to be a struggle area of how people can relate to the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk about first something really personal. We go deep right away on this.
I love it. It's a light topic too. You were like, hey, let's talk about the big mystical concept as a whole.
Talk about it. Well, the first thing I want to start off with is for you to share your personal encounter. Like, when was there like an awakening to the Holy Spirit, or let's unpack that a little bit. Was there something personal that you experienced? And could you share that with us first?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because two things come to my mind specifically. And I wish I could say, like, I just had one moment where, but I think it's important to say this. I in early high school, do you guys call it high school? Wait, is it? Yeah. Okay, great. See, I just want to make sure I'm being relevant.
For the same, it's West Coast.
Okay, great.
That's good.
Early high school years for me, and this is a bigger part of my story, but my mom had left our family. My dad's a pastor. And my mom, even prior to all this, was a very strong leader. I would say now a prophetic leader. And there's a lot more to that story. But I just remember in her leaving, in that kind of fracturing period, I had already come to faith in Jesus. I was trying to follow him. I was being discipled in youth group. And I grew up in a Baptist church. So we weren't talking about the Holy Spirit it wasn't that we didn't talk about who he was or what it was like, but just in a more intellectual way. And I remember I was grieving, crying out to the Lord regularly at night. I kind of had this rhythm or this practice. And pretty early on in that experience, I had regular, significant encounters with the presence of God. And I wouldn't say I was like, this is the Spirit. But I had this, it was a trifecta of sorts. It was like I was experiencing comfort. I was experiencing peace, a settledness in my being that I felt nowhere else. I was reading scripture and it was shifting my actual way of thinking. Like, it was the first time I was reading the scriptures and they were illuminated in a different way, where I was able to receive it more deeply than I ever had. And at the same time, I felt like there was a withness in my room, in the space that I was, this set aside kind of space that I had with the Lord. So, and then I think back to ways that my mom had expressed, and my dad too, expressed felt experiences with the Holy Spirit. And it was, again, more practical or more thoughtful. But this was the moment for me where that connected, where I was like, I think this is the Holy this is the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
So that was like my first encounter. I didn't, you know, I didn't have language or intellect to say, this is what's happening. He is the comforter. He is this, you know, but as a teenager to receive and to experience the presence of God through the Holy Spirit, that shaped so much of who I was. Because all of a sudden now I had access to an experiential reality of God.
Wow.
That I don't know that I had had in that way before. So that was one of the main experiences. And then I think a little bit older, maybe 8 years ago, so not a super long time ago, we were really diving in here to the Holy Spirit theologically, but more experientially. So we had built a foundation, and there were gifts of the Spirit I still didn't feel like I had, but I was reading this stuff again from Paul post-seminary, post all this education stuff, and going, oh, I'm meant to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, which is really eagerly desiring the fullness of the presence of God in my life. And so it was then that I began asking God for a greater reality of his presence in my life through the Spirit. And I had an encounter with the Spirit at our Holy Spirit conference, not at the front or any of that, you know, because we're leading,
yeah, yeah.
Or, but in a private kind of way. And I feel like that encounter only compounded what I had been experiencing, the ways I had been accessing the Spirit, but gave greater language and context for what this could mean, not just in my personal private life, but in the fullness of who I was as a teacher, who I was as a shepherd, who I was as a woman, and hopefully, in the future, a mother, a wife, all these things. I think it began to just break open for me. And that's just shaped me ever since. So those kind of two things are the bedrock experiences for me. And they were different and similar, you know. And I think that's important to note, you know, that doesn't always have to look a certain way, but there is usually a consistent reality at work.
I love what you're describing, is that there's a move from head knowledge to relationship. It isn't that doesn't have to be this spectacular, like what you said. You didn't go to the front. You didn't, although those moments are so powerful and so important to have too. It's like both and.
Yeah.
But it was something super personal that happened to you. You know, many believe, I mean, I believe that the Holy Spirit is super powerful, and it can, you know, those moments where you do go to the front and there's something that is like wild that could happen too, but also this gentle Spirit is what you're also describing. Is,
yeah,
what does that feel like to walk daily? So we see and hear these scriptures: walk daily with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit daily, whatever the, however the translation goes. And so in practical terms, how would you guide believers in those everyday decisions to recognize maybe his voice versus our own voice, and how do we walk with him?
Yeah.
Like, let's unpack that a bit.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I definitely will only be able to provide probably a portion of the answer, but I'll do my very best and really speak from my own experience in day-to-day life. I think, you know, there's an ancient practice or framework for practice, this practice from a monk who lived 1,000 years ago, maybe, or not really. I don't actually know what century he's from, but many will know his name, Brother Lawrence, who wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. And that for me was as when I first read that, I don't know, 10 years ago, the language was what gave shape to this practical. How do I live this out? So I had these encounters, and, you know, I had had encounters with this Holy Spirit, which I think a lot of people can say and even honor. Maybe they wouldn't normally, but like, let's say you're listening to the radio and a song comes on and it's powerful and you feel something shift in the atmosphere around you. You feel the presence of God, or you see God ministering to someone and you feel his presence in the room. Like that's him. The practicing of the presence for me was taking those experiences and not just living in them, but leaning into them. So I read Brother Lawrence Practicing the Presence of God, and I'll speak to that in a second. And then I also I've just gotten to talk to a lot of really brilliant people who walk in the spirit very practically, and that's really shaped how I do it. So practicing the presence of God is really just this practice, and I hate the word because sometimes it can be really intimidating people, but it's this commitment to being aware of God's presence in every moment of your day. So you're washing dishes and you're like, wait, God is present, and he is present, we know this, by his spirit. So if I'm washing the dishes, I can ask God where, just in a moment, as I turn my attention to God, I can say, Holy Spirit, where are you working right now in my home? Where are you at work in my relationship? Where were you in that conversation I just had with that cashier at Trader Joe's? Where, you know, where are you? So just turning my attention to the presence of God. And am I always aware of where he is? Like, am I always 100% sure when something comes to mind that that's it? No. And I think that's the practical, important thing to say is like, am I 100% sure? Not always. But the practice I'm doing of turning my attention to God's presence is what attunes my eyes and ears, my spiritual eyes and ears, to hear and see where the Spirit is at work. And that's important because on the other side of this, the thing I've learned from some great friends, is that we're not just meant to encounter and receive the presence of God, which can be confusing for people because it's like, how do I access it? How do I get it? We're meant to participate with the presence of God. And that's what fuels our encounters with the Holy Spirit. So the more I am attuned to turning my mind towards God's presence and what he might be doing, the more I can say, how can I join you? How can I enter into what you're doing? How can I be a conduit of that presence of God to other people? So we're at the checkout line at Trader Joe's, and I have a feeling that God is wanting to encourage this person. And could that be my mind? It could be. But one of the brilliant pastors who we've gotten to learn a lot about the Holy Spirit from said, you know, and I think he learned this from John Wimber, but basically he said, faith is spelled R-A-S-K, so it's spelled risk. So you're always going to take a risk by faith to be a conduit of the presence of God. But if I sense the Holy Spirit is saying, putting something in my mind about encourage this person, my job then is to participate with him and to say, I'm going to encourage this person and just say, hey, Todd, I just want to say to you, I have a feeling, or I feel like God wants to encourage you today, and just say that he sees where you're at and cares about your story. And they might be like, you're such a freak. And I can go on with my day, you know, and eat my cheddar puffs that I just got, and everything's fine. Nobody dies. This is, you know, risk. This kind of risk doesn't mean that. Or I can see in their being that this really was the presence of God and they're being ministered to. And it's my joy, and it's doing something. It's forming something in me, not only to attune my ear to the presence of God, but it's giving me a greater picture of what the Holy Spirit's like as I join him with what he's doing, if that makes sense. So practically, that's what I do all the time. And it's the generator for me learning more about the character and the nature of the Holy Spirit. As I join him, I learn more about what he likes to do, who he likes to, you know, how he likes to minister. And I just get to join him. It's so much fun. And it's so scary. It's just, even though I'm a paid professional Christian, I don't love doing it all the time. But I get to join with him, see what he's doing. And he's like healing people in front of me.
Totally.
Go so pray for that person. I'm like, oh, no. And he heals them, or he touches them emotionally because they're grieving, whatever. And I'm just like, you're so compassionate.
Yeah.
You're able to see beyond the exterior into the heart. And that does something in me as I worship him, as I welcome his presence into my life. It's like, that's who you are to me too. So it's real practical. And really the practical side of it is just saying, where are you at work and how do I join you in carrying your presence to other people? And I think we think about Holy Spirit a lot as in, you know, this big encounter, Bethel. I don't mean any of that negatively, just like, hello. And I think so much of what we see in the life of Jesus is not that. It's him being a conduit, you know, of God's presence to so many people. So anyway, that's how I think about it. And that's how I hopefully steward his presence, but also how I receive more and more of it, how I'm filled with more and more of it, and making space for more and more of his presence in my life.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See, Hear, Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See, Hear, Lovelies. Here's how. Sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week, you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description or sign up through our website at seehearlove.com. And look for the newsletter icon. Become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Hear Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seehearlove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Hear Lovely and join our See Hear Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
Yeah, I like that linger here a bit because Holy Spirit is what you're describing. Is it compassionate, comforter? That's how the word describes him. Empowers us. Right. And so those like moments of like, ah, and then like the ordinary, like the, all of it, it's all of it. And I love what you're describing in this participation piece is we are participants of bringing heaven on earth, to earth into this ordinary life that we live. What are the spiritual gifts? Like very pastor to pastor moment right now, because I feel there's a lot of confusion around this topic. So that's why we're going there. This like, what are these? How would you describe spiritual gifts and their purpose of how and why they're given to believers? Like, can you ask for them, Bethany? Let's get really practical.
Yeah. I mean, Paul says you should eagerly desire all the gifts of the Spirit. And
that's interesting to me. All the gifts of the Spirit. Oh. Sometimes we want to like categorize people.
Oh, yeah. Or what we're comfortable with, where it's like, right. Please don't give me tongues. Like, that's weird. I don't understand it, you know, or whatever. I think that for me was revelatory when I first learned, like, we're supposed to eagerly. I heard someone teach on it a couple, 8 years ago. And it was like, eagerly desire all the gifts of the Spirit and ask for it, you know? So that's what I started doing, because I'm like, well, Paul said it's a good idea. I really trust Paul's ideas here. And so I think, and Paul says, goes on to say, the purpose of the gifts is to edify the body always. So prophecy and discernment and acts of service, all these things. And Paul, it's complicated because there's lists in 1 Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians. And then there's lists in Romans. So you've got all kinds of, you know, people describe the gifts of the Holy Spirit differently. But I would just say all the gifts of tongues and all these, you know, these gifts that we want to desire and not desire, all of them we should eagerly desire for the purpose of building up the body of Christ and building up other people. So that's what they're for. I think sometimes we fear it because they seem mystical or they seem, they seem like they come with a lot of responsibility. But that's the work in it, is recognizing that by asking or desiring the gifts, you're not asking for your own sake. You're asking for the purpose of God. Wow. Doing what he wants to do in the lives of other people, which means he's responsible for the outcome. I see them fitting in the body of Christ as like a, I don't know, almost like a melody. That's how I would think about it. Like the gifts reflect a greater song that's being sung over all of creation. And we're just joining in with our little, you know, every once in a while we're having a little like, burr, burr, and that's our echo of the refrain of what's already true, is that Jesus is the King. All of creation longs for his return. He's bringing heaven to earth. And that's what we're doing as we carry out the gifts of the Spirit. And again, the gifts are the Spirit's gifts. It's already a reflection of who he is. So we're just reflecting to the world who the Spirit of God is as we exercise these gifts in the community that he's placed us in. So, and maybe that's too ethereal. I don't know. You tell me, but Yeah, but I that's how I think about it. And I, you know, like for example, the gifts of speaking in tongues. Paul says that's great, but it's not everything.
Right.
You know. Yeah. But it does help you intercede when you don't have words for someone, and it's the Spirit of God at work in you, offering petition on behalf of another. Like, that's the beauty of it. Again, it's all just a beautiful refrain of the Spirit who's already at work, and the reflection of who the Spirit is.
And and in that passage too, he's like, you can have all these different things, and but yet not have love. And so there's this other part of the Spirit that actually there is this comforter, and there's a transformation that happens in us when we yield to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then Scripture calls that the fruit of the Spirit. So there's this other part too, like the peace and the patience and the love and that transformation that happens. I think it's gradually, like there are some dramatic things that can happen in our life, but there's a gradual shifting the more that we lean in, like you're saying, the more that we are transformed. And so there's, I love how you're just framing this. There's this mystical part, and then there's this practical, very ordinary, this is how we're supposed to live as believers. And so let's talk about those practical pieces a little bit more before we close up. Let's speak directly to the one who's longing to have more of God. They could say, I know, I understand the role of the Father. I get Jesus. I get that part. He died, rose again, defeated Satan, sin, and death itself. Like, I get that. And now this Holy Spirit part is my, like, the person who wants to experience more of the Holy Spirit. Practically, is there a simple prayer or heart posture? What kind of tips can we give that person?
Yeah.
Things that they can, maybe little prayer pieces that they can do, or maybe even over the next week, they can implement it right away.
Yeah. I mean, it's as simple, I think, as you said, and maybe I'm just more simple in this. I would say, ask for the Spirit to be revealed to you. I keep going back to the thought, even as you're talking about Jesus, when he said, I'm going to leave you. It's better for you that I go and leave my Spirit than it is for me to stay among you, which I think in the evangelical world, we get flipped all the time. I think we still hold a belief that it would be better if he were with us rather than leaving his Spirit. But that framework gives me an excitement and a hunger to ask then, that I want the fullness of the Spirit in my life. So Jesus, would you pour out the fullness of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be present, vibrant, alive, and in ways I understand it. And we know from the Scriptures, like you said, he's a comforter, but he's also a counselor. The Spirit is the great counselor who's able to provide that in our lives. So all to say, ask. That's what I think. Ask for his Spirit. Ask for his presence. Ask that he would be, you know, awakened in your life and in your reality. And I think if you just give him a second, there's a really good chance he'll show you that. And I ask my prayer regularly is for eyes to see the Spirit and ears to hear him. Because he's not in a body, I'm asking for sight, spiritual sight. And God has never not answered that prayer. And it's been a little overwhelming sometimes in the best way, but it's also been extraordinary and life-changing in how I follow Jesus.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing your experience and teaching us, Pastor Bethany, today. I think this is like a sweet way of preaching and teaching through this podcast. I know people will be eager to find you online and to learn more from you. And so Bridgetown Church or...
Yeah.
On your social media, and we'll put all those links in this podcast as well so that you can listen and learn more from Bethany. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.